All right, riddle me this, Kev. What's one of the first upgrades you should do to your vehicle? What is it? What do you go for?
Well, you might think power, but ultimately, from a smart and safe perspective, definitely the brakes.
Yeah, no doubt. Upgraded braking system can really transform a vehicle's performance and honestly give you better peace of mind behind the wheel in any situation. You know, from the track, the off-road trails, even the morning commute, every single vehicle deserves performance brakes at an affordable price.
And no matter what your vehicle or driving style, PowerStop has complete brake upgrade kits for you. So head to PowerStop.com, fill in your vehicle's information into their easy-to-use brake finder to be matched with complete kits and components that are low-dust, noise-free, and feature upgraded stopping power.
That's right. You could join the thousands of other drivers that have already transformed their vehicle into a stopping powerhouse today with PowerStop. PowerStop.com, brake upgrades made easy.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And fired up. You know why? Because today, man, we're just doing our own jam. Today, it's just us talking shop, talking cars, talking builds. And dude, I'm going to start with my brother hits me up today. I got a twin brother, you guys. You know my brother. Hell of a car guy, tuner. Right, he's a car enthusiast like you and I, right?
Yeah, you guys are blood brothers in the car scene from day one.
Yeah, this is kind of funny. He hits me up today and goes, "Man, you're not gonna believe what I found 3 miles from my house." That's a car guy's setup question, right? You know, he calls his best friend or his brother, Kev. You're not gonna believe what I found 3 miles from my house. Now, anytime a car guy calls another car guy to say something like that, you know he's scrubbing, he's rubbing. He's like, "All right, Kev, if I called you and said, you're not going to believe what I found, I would expect you to guess a, you know, some sort of crazy cool boss, some sort of Cobra Jet Mustang, fastback, you know, the prime years in your sweet spot, man, that 66 or 67, that sweet era for you. Man, you know I found that 3 miles from my house, right?" He would hit me with something like that.
So, man, you got me spinning here. Are we? Can I ask questions? Can we box this thing in, man? Are we in an old decade? Sure. Are we in the '60s?
Yes.
Mopar.
We're in the prime.
Yeah.
We're in the prime year. Like, if there's one year for you for muscle cars, what year is it? And then I'll tell you the greatest year for muscle cars. Because there's one year that outshines every year for muscle cars.
I know what yours is. 70 Charger.
Yeah, 70. Just 70 in general. I think 70, the 70 Chevelle to, you know, I'm a big fan of the first-gen Camaros. Although that 70, 71 is sweet. But for Mopar, 70 was the year for sure, by far. So for you,
yeah. Everything lined up. Everything lined up in 70. For me, I'm 69 and 70 because I love a first gen Camaro 69. Yeah, yeah. You know, like, I'll take one of those. I love a 69 70 fastback. Boom, I take one of those. Corvette was, you know, killing it then. Like, everything just seemed like it was booming right around 69 70, and a little bit of tail end over 71 ish in some areas, and then it just kind of died. Fell off. All right, so where are we at? We're at 70. Is this the year that we're working around 70?
Yes.
This is a Mopar?
Yes.
Yes? Oh, my gosh.
Warmer, warmer.
Well, the pinnacle would be a Charger.
Or would it? Or would it?
Am I close?
I would say yes 99% of the time. However, here's something that's unique.
Yeah. Is it not one of the usuals?
Let's see.
It's not the Cuda Challenger Charger.
It's you know, not. Whoa. It's from the same family.
Well, you got, right? What I got?
However, it's
Dusters,
it's a little different.
Roadrunners and
so this car, no, Coder. This car broke every record, and NASCAR said we're outlawing it.
Oh, Superbird.
Ding, ding.
Ding, yes. Ding. No way. So when he said he found it, like as in bought it, found it, or just I know a guy who has one.
Here's the story. My brother, who lives in a small town in Kentucky, has lived there. You know, it's the town I went to college in. So he slid in when I moved out of the college town. He moved in, and he lived off my wild tales for a couple years, and found his own footing and his own roots. And the rest of the story is history. However, you know, he's been in the same house for a couple decades now. You know. And he's a massive car guy. Plenty of car things evolved around him. So I would think that in a 3-mile radius, he's got pretty much everybody covered as far as, you know, known cars, you know, maybe some whispered rumors of cars here and there. This one he had no idea of. This one was completely, it was void on anybody's radar. It was non-existent in the entire town. Nobody knew about this car.
Man. This is that elusive barn find story kind of thing.
It is.
You know?
It truly
Nobody
is
knew it. About it. Hidden away. Tucked away.
When I tell you how long it's been since the door has been open on this car, you won't believe me. But it is true, and I'll tell you after the break. Hang on. It's Two Guys Garage Podcast. He's Kevin Bird. I'm Willie B.
No, tell
we'll
me
see
now.
You in a second.
Tell
no,
me now.
We'll see you in a second.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He's Kevin Bird. I'm Willie B. Spence is killing you, isn't it, man?
Man, just spit it out.
Is it Spence killing
spit
you?
Spit it out, man.
I'm texting my brother right now to make sure we're still going.
See, now you're just stalling.
Yes. All right. So
you're just over there, like, gloating with your brother.
My brother, who's running this dyno business, he gets a knock on the door the other day, you know, because a buddy heard about another buddy who came to him with cars. Anyway, long story short, there's an older gentleman, 3-mile radius of my brother's house, who's got a single car garage behind his house. And in the front of it, you wouldn't expect anything. It's about a car and a half deep, you know, single car garage, because there's stuff piled up. Each time the garage door is open, there's just stuff piled up. There's boxes, there's curtains, there's this, there's that, and the other. Underneath, and in the back of this little single car and a half, you know, sort of cinder block barn, is a 1970 Dodge. Well, it would be a Plymouth Superbird, because it's a Superbird. Dodge did the Daytona, Plymouth did the Superbird, and it's a mint green Superbird. You ready for this? 19,000 miles, bro. 19,000 miles on this car, and it's sitting there. The last time the doors were opened. Last time the doors were open, take a shot. Make a year guess, man. I'll sit back and laugh at your attempts to guess the year.
With only 19,000 miles, I'd say technically you could be all the way back to like late 70s. But I'd say 1987.
Ooh, you're actually damn close. 89. He parked it there in 89, hasn't touched it.
19.
Has not touched the car. And that long, and it's just sitting there. Has a car cover on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what's the story behind that? What's the story? Is it the typical one, or is there something unique? Like, he's going to save it, and it's going to be worth something, or it just never ran, and he always wanted to make it run, or?
Yeah, it was his car. He bought the car apparently used, like in 74, 75. Basically had the car to the late 80s. Moved from one farm to the farm that he's at right now and put the car back in there, 440, six pack,
wow.
Manual. So It's got all the numbers and all the, you know, things you could ever imagine to want. It's mint green on the outside, white interior. And man, it is, I've not seen pictures yet. My brother's on his way now to get photos of it. So, or on his way later this evening to get photos of it. So I'm super excited. He saw the car, and from there, they're just pulling boxes and all this stuff. But the man's, he's 92, 93 years old. It's time for him to, you know, sell it. And he halfway knows what he wants for the car. He knows he's got something. He knows it's not, you know, he knows it's worth something. I don't know that he knows the extent of what it's worth. But that car, you know, it's a six-figure car for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. So you're your brother thinking about going on this thing?
Yeah, well, depending on the price, you know, it's in the shape, but it's something that we're definitely, he's got the word out now. So there's another person that's interested, but I think me and my brother have him covered. So yeah, man, right now it's just a dogfight who gets in on the car. You know, it's like those dreams, man. I you know, it's funny because in the show here in a few weeks, I believe I heard rumors and discussion that we may be working on an old 1970 Pontiac GTO, the Judge, the 6970 orange, like GTO. I had a chance, the opportunity to get one of those in my hometown for $900, dude, $900.
Oh, my God.
And I couldn't come up with the $900 when I was, like, 18 years old to get it. But I'm like, oh, my God, that car, you know, big six-figure car now. So those dreams still exist. As hard and difficult as it is to believe, you know, in 2024, that you could hear of a barn find Plymouth Superbird with 19,000 miles on it, they're still out there. And they only made 500 of those cars, like, each year. You know, it's like, it's so crazy that car, just there it is. It's wild.
Yeah, wow, they're getting farther and fewer between. But like you said, I mean, you dig deep enough, you wait long enough, and one of them pops up. But damn it, if I don't ever kick the rocks and stuff, and nothing ever comes out except a little salamander or snake or something, you know, like nothing cool.
Oh, I think you did pretty good on your Mustang recently.
Yeah, that was all right. That was all right. And actually, so that one was all right because it was exactly what I needed, exactly what I wanted, so that I could build what I wanted with it. You know, like, not the whole numbers matching scenario, but in a different sort of way, it was the unnumbers matching unscenario that was just perfect for me. So yeah, I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it. I'll run it. I'll build it.
How bad would it be to take a vintage, you know, a car with that lineage, right, and put a new modern Gen 4 Hemi in it?
Ooh, you know,
I feel like it'd be epic, but ooh, man, I think a lot of people would hate it.
Yeah. I can't say I'd hate it because I'm not a guy that's a big number matching guy. I never, you know, I thought neither one. Well, I don't know. You might be partway there. I'm like very little there to whatever some engineer was constrained to 56 years ago, you know, whatever technology they had. Like, I hate to just constrain myself and it has to be exactly that. When there's just new, cool, faster, better stuff. I'm all about building it, you know? And like, what new contraption, what new configuration? So yeah, man, if somebody wanted to do it, but at the same time, you realize how much that sucker could be worth, restored, because it's so rare, you kind of go, ooh. But that's coming from a guy who cut up a really nice E30 M3, you know, which... Equally had very few numbers in this country, and you know.
Hey, I'm with you. I'm the same boat. My drag car, 69 Super B, original 440 six-pack car. Yeah, manual. I cut it up, too. This car behind me, big block four-speed car, that Charger. Yep, cut that one up, too. So it's in our blood.
You have a whole lot more fun with them. That's all I got to say, right? Exactly. You get something all matched and numbers nice, and it just sits in a corner and collects dust, and okay.
Well, here's the problem with matching number stuff. It's 1970 technology. It's 300 and, you know, 35 horsepower or something, you know, 385 horsepower, you know, with some, you know, the biggest, nastiest 440, you know, 375 horsepower, the 426 Hemi, 425 horsepower. You know, that is something nowadays that is achieved by boosted six cylinders. Let's be honest. So to have an old car with the aggression that those cars came from the factory and the styling, the look, the stance, the way they put massive fins on them, and just, you know, it looks like a race car. It looks like it was designed to go fast. So, you know, for me, I'm going to make it go fast, make it fit the part that it was designed to fit, regardless of the power plant underneath the hood. I tend to lean towards more modern engines. I've got a 70 Charger 500 in my shop in here. It's the original big block car, numbers matching, all that stuff. You know how often I drive that particular 70 Charger? Never. It's slow. Yeah. It's crazy. Six cylinders will mop me up. Anybody in an import will mop me up. It's not fun to drive because it's just the looks, and I got to have more than that. I got to have something to back it up.
Well, that's where we're very, very much on the same page. We love to build. We love to go fast. We love to have fun with our cars, right? There you go. That's simple, you know?
Yeah.
Don't want something sitting around.
What, a 70 Superbird with a Gen 4 Hemi with a, you know, some sort of supercharged, you know, boosted application under the hood with an 8-speed? Would that not go for $150,000, just like a numbers matching one?
Probably. You know?
I think so. I think it might probably go more.
Yeah. You know, right now the prices are so much leaning towards, you know, not the restoration, but the resto mod, right? People really are digging, right? Having the coolest cars and having the most fun with them. So I bet you it would probably sell for, you know, depends on how rare that particular one is, color combinations and all that stuff. Right, what it could go for after you spent,
rare,
you know,
bro,
every single, you know, dollar to polish every little piece of that thing. I don't know. So what are you going to do? If you got it, what would you do with it?
I don't know. We got to get it first. But if we do get it, if we do land it, I would push towards that. I would push towards, let's restore it, but let's do it with the new Gen 4 Hemi.
Yeah. Well, you know, depending on, you know, what you mod, you can always unmod it. You can always put the original powertrain on the side. You know, it's how bad you carve it up, cut it up. I mean, you can get all that sheet metal. You can make all that sheet metal. So you can put it back. Now, likely it'll never go back because somebody will be having too much damn fun with it. You know?
Yeah.
So you will never hear me gripe about it. I'll be gung-ho, Willie, all the way. I want to see that sucker.
Yeah, man.
That would be pretty ballsy. I would tip my hat.
Yeah, that would be something that people would definitely have some words on.
No doubt, and I bet you the words would get around too, right? I think you show that thing around its original condition, and then you show a couple, you know, progress pics where you're pulling stuff out and it's not going back in, and you're cutting certain things, and yeah, dude, you get a lot of wake up calls, you know? What the hell are you doing?
Like, what are you doing? I'm doing the right thing. Shut up.
Yeah.
I'm bringing up today's standards, and I'm letting it live in the, you know, aesthetically like it was supposed to, you know? Look the part, but, you know, perform like it did in 70.
Yeah, because when you say look the part, let's say you put, you know, Hellcat or something in there, right? Hellfent or other. You know, that starts cascading down typically, right? When you do that to like a pro touring car, right? You got some different kind of wheels, different kind of tires, brakes, and everything else. And then you start thinking stance and look. And, you know, pro touring car, you know, when you really think, typically they look like a pro touring car. Would you go to that level, or would you just have a bias ply looking 15-inch, you know, steelies with 900 under the hood?
No, I get like, I want something with like 315s all the way around it, squatted. You know, you can get the replica sort of old looking tires, but they're, you know, they're 20s or somewhere along those lines because they did make a good looking rim for that. But I'm talking some meats underneath it, some stance, some suspension. You know, I want it to look what it was supposed to look like in that era that it came out in. So in 70, that car dominated the track. Regardless of the track you put it on, right? I still want it to look like it can dominate any track, but just upgrade all the modern stuff underneath it and the power plant. So, you know, the car aesthetically looks almost identical. Just drop it, lower it a little bit, get that stance like we love, hit those wheel lips a little bit, and you know, show it off in today's modern style of that version, that car.
I don't know if I've seen one done like that. At least not an original, right?
Yeah.
Only a replica.
No.
I think you got to do it. This is not my money talking, but I think man. You got to do it.
Right.
That would be awesome.
That would be wild, man, to get that car on the show. That would be a wild one to get on the show.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, yeah, man. You've seen some wild Mopars. Nothing like that. It is such a crazy car, man. If you ever driven one, they are so wild. You know, the trunk lifts up under you. People would wonder why the wing was so high. That's so they could lift the trunk up. You know, that's the whole reason they put the wing
there. Yeah, they got to get their suitcase out of there.
Yeah, you got to lift the trunk up. So they're like, just put it apart where the trunk would you know, cover it, would come out
from underneath. Well, they're like, well, we got to get it up high enough so it gets some clean air. And they're like, but dude, now the trunk hits it. They're like, well, just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep going a little further.
A little taller.
And next thing you know, it's way sky high.
Yeah, and you got models sitting on the back of it. All right, man, do you have a almost had or a... You know, the one that got away type story?
Like all of them.
Think about it. When we come back, you can give like us your version of the got away story if you got one.
I got lists and lists.
All right. It's the Two Guys Ride Podcast. He's Kevin Bird. I'm Willie B. We'll see you in a second. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. You know, we're talking about this crazy super bird that just fell into me and my brother, who's a big car guy, identical twin, into kind of our lap. Now my brother's he's keen on this car, man. He's like, here's a Mopar guy, talk to me. And so we're working some angles trying to get this super bird, which would be amazing. This car just has always been out of reach. You know, that car.
Yeah.
It's always been six figures, you know, as long as I can remember. Big six figures too.
Well, and it still might be, but you're gonna go for it. You're gonna get your hand on it. You're gonna try to touch the ball.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah. If I have my druthers about the car, it's going Gen 4 Hemi, 3.0 liter supercharger, you know, 1,000 horsepower style Gen 4 Hemi setup, 8-speed or 10-speed automatic, all the suspension you could throw at it, all the tire you could throw at it, nice little stance, upgraded, you know, creature comforts, and run around with that big nose cone and that big fin and just watch everybody freak out.
I love it. I love it, dude. I want to see it.
Yeah, that would be
I think you got to do it no matter what. Just empty your bank account and just give that man whatever he wants and then go do that thing you just said.
It's easy to spend somebody else's money.
That's right. I'm spending it. I'm spending your money like crazy from all the way over here.
What about you, man? Do you have a getaway car? Like, all right, that car got away from me, but if I saw one today, man, I'd be full in.
Well, actually, I do. Because, you know, my first car was almost, and I can't remember now, it was a 69 or 70 fastback Mustang. It was white, and it was a family friend, and we drove a couple hours to go, you know, visit the town and see them. And I was just so head over heels. I was 15, you know, had my bucks kind of counting in my wallet, you know, maybe I could scrape up enough. And we took it to a mechanic because my dad wasn't into cars, you know. So I'm 15. We go to take it to the mechanic and they take it apart and they're like, oh, look at all these things that are wrong. They just made this huge list. Of course, because it's an old car. They made this huge list of all the stuff that's wrong with it, needs to be fixed and all that stuff. And my parents are freaking out. And they're like, you can't buy this car. You know, there's no way. It's never going to run. And I'm like, yeah, but I want it, you know. And they just somehow, you know, you have very little sway at that age. Talked me out of it. I ended up with a third gen Camaro. So for the rest of my life, I was like, damn it. You know, I still love those 69, 70 Mustangs. Oh. And so we talked about earlier, boom, I found one. I got one, just the shell. I have just the shell sitting right here. But it's going to be nastier and cooler and more wicked probably than I would have ever built that thing at 16, 17. Although I would have had a lot of fun in it.
Yeah.
I will say maybe it was for the best because that third gen, I hate to say it, came with the six cylinder.
Ooh,
but that is what forced me to gut. Well, see, because it was such an anemic POS with a clean body on it, it forced me to gut every single thing on that car and learn everything about engines and transmissions and suspensions and brakes and tires and you name it. Like, there was nothing left of that third gen Camaro by the time I got out of high school. And I built motor after motor after motor. And I don't know if I would have done that route if it was already something pretty cool and I could have put just maybe a bigger carburetor on it or some headers. You know, like if it was already there and you just had to, like, you know, do the little bits. But when I had to gut it, it forced me to learn a whole lot of stuff. So maybe that was a good thing. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, man. My first car, 71 Dodge Charger. I couldn't afford a 70 Dodge Charger. So I had to get the ugly body style. Had to go with the Richard Petty Charger. And, yeah, same thing. It had a 318 in it. I put a 440 in it. You know, dude, I was the kid that was running around my town with a tunnel ram and two fours. Yeah, I was that kid. Yeah. Two Holley 390s, man. Float them. Yeah, awesome. I was that kid. It was awesome. Had it on college campus. It was a wild car, but it was fast. There's no doubt. It's just I ended up getting another car in high school, a Chevy Chevette, because I was spending so much money just killing my hot rod, trying to drive it everywhere I needed to go to work to afford gas to put in that car and pay for parts for it. So, yeah, man.
Wait. I want to see a picture of Willie running around in a Chevette.
It was a brown Chevy Chevette, four-door. Yeah, and I took the passenger seat out in it
nice. So
I could carry car parts. I could lean the whole thing back. I carried rear ends in it, transmissions. Yeah, man. It was my little parts car. It was awesome. Yeah, but
well, it's funny, dude, because, you know, any car kid back in the day, you hardly ever got to drive your car because it was always torn apart. Yeah, you're always doing stuff. And that's how mine was. I was always driving something else. Like, I had a motorcycle for a couple of years. That's all I had, trying to carry car parts on a motorcycle. You know, like, man, you always had something else because your main, you know, your main dig was in build.
Right.
You know, I had an 86 Golf. Yeah. 86 Golf with no rear bumper cover, you know, but I could throw a bunch of car parts in it. You know, like.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah,
same situation.
Absolutely.
Man. Same story here. Cars, you know, it's funny, man, whether it's the ones that got away, because I have a few of them that have gotten away. Or just ones, you know, that are in my shop that I haven't gotten to. You know, I'm one of those project guys. I see, you know, being in radio, which is what I do in my normal 9-to-5, a lot of listeners bring cars to the table or they're aware of cars for me. So I get a lot of leads on cars that some people may or may not know about and, you know, and maybe an opportunity to pick them up. And I rarely miss an opportunity to grab one. So that's why I have so many projects.
Yeah, you're in a unique situation.
Right.
Well, the other thing is you're on 6 acres and you've got, like, I don't know, 20,000 square feet of covered garage. Yeah. And if you don't have garage, you're in Denver where you could leave something in the yard for like 100 years and it'd be still like a car. So you're in a great spot where you can snag up stuff and just throw it in the corner and decide later if I should keep it or not, you know?
In my opinion, a man's wealth is really determined by how many partially running cars he has on his property. So in that regard, I'm doing all right.
In your vast collection, right? Would you have so many? Not all of them that you went and chose, but just kind of, you know, popped up. So if you were to choose, a couple of cars that you don't have, what would you wish you would have stumbled on that just kind of fell in your lap like the Superbird?
I don't have a 70. I do not have a 70 or 71 CUDA. I've never had one of those.
Uh-huh.
I always kind of wanted that big black CUDA. You saw for a long time, that was the big money car. 71 or 70 CUDA, you're talking, you know, 150 at just, you know, for anything that was halfway decent restored. They've come down in price a little bit, but that was a big money car from Mopar too. I always wanted a 69 Chevelle. I ended up getting one of those about 2 years ago. So that's really cool. I'm stoked about that. I got a first-gen Camaro, which I love. It's a big black car. So, you know, as far as hot rods go, really that CUDA is the only thing. And I'm in a somewhat of a weird paradox because as much as I like the CUDAs and the Challengers, there was a 69 Super B. I've got one as a race car, but there was a 69 Super B, that I missed out on, that I wish I had a chance to get back in my life. It was a 4-speed car too, really rare combo. Missed that car, just being silly and stupid, thinking my buddy wouldn't sell it. And I told him I wanted it and he'd have my back and I should just shut up, came up with the money, gone and gotten it, and not worried about what he was going to do or wouldn't do. But, yeah, I missed out on that car. I missed out on a 66 Fury one time. That was a manual car. So I missed a couple of them. But all in all, man, I'm pretty fortunate. If I had to name something that I wanted and I didn't have as far as cars go in the garage, it'd be more modern stuff. I don't have as much of the modern stuff as I want.
Yeah, give me a modern one.
The new Corvette, the new Z06 is just ridiculous. Yeah. If you guys haven't driven a C8, I'm telling you, man, that car is... I drove a Z06 the other day, and I got to put some heat to it, and that car is undeniably... It is a supercar in every form and fashion, and it is badass. I mean, it is just... God has inspired you as a driver to just lean into it.
That's one of the biggest wah-wahs in my later life here. Because Will and I talk about it all the time. We got a C8 base model when they first came out on the show. And, you know, he's got some track time, I think, in one. And as a base model, we were so impressed. And neither one of us have been very big Corvette fans, right? We don't own satin jackets. But, you know, they're bang for buck. And this was the one I thought. The C8 was the one that was going to turn me into a vet owner. You know, maybe I'd get one just a couple of years old. You know, just let them come out and get a couple of years old. It's like the base was 55 grand. Yeah. And I'm thinking, man, Z06 has got to be coming out. Maybe it's 70, but I'll give it a couple of years. Maybe it'll be worth 55. You know, 55. Yeah. I could save up 55. No, sir. 110, 120. And up.
No, man.
And it's probably never going to be cheaper. Yeah. Like, boom, they're gone. Never. Nope. See ya. Bye-bye. Dude, sucks to be you.
Hey, I will tell you, man, that car, just driving that new Z06 Corvette, the rev match on that thing is unbelievable. The suspension, that car, it's just, man, you've driven a Lambo or a Ferrari or, you know, probably been in some of those cars before and just been in awe as to the functionality of them. Trust me, man, that new Corvette, oh, my God, it is all of that. Plus that American V8, like, torque and horsepower and that sound you get when that thing is way up there in RPM range. Like, man, it is, it's inspiring. That's a nice offering from the Corvette guys, and one, unfortunately, that we thought we'd be able to get our hands on fairly affordably, but not ever going to be the case.
Can't even get my finger on it. Damn it. Some bitch. So that's definitely one. Well, I wouldn't say it got away because I never had it, but I thought I'd be fishing right, for that one at one point, maybe snag one, but damn.
No doubt, man. All right, any European cars, any Euro or Japanese cars that have your attention or that you've ever wanted or ever, you know, thought to yourself, man, that would be cool.
You know, everybody just raves about, and I haven't gotten to do any track time in like the higher end, like Porsche 911, like GT3, GT2s, you know, like I think one of those would be just the bomb, you know, because, you know, we're all about performance and you can get into a supercar, which, believe me, I would not kick a supercar to the curb. But if you've ever driven one, a lot of them, man, they become really difficult to daily drive. You got no view, you know, it's hard to see, like. But it seems like a 911 GT2 car, three car, you could probably drive every day, everywhere. And it might be a little rough, a little bumpy, but I could care less.
Yeah.
You know, I could drive that thing to the grocery store. I could drive that thing across the country. I could drive it right onto a track. So that might be one that would be fun to own. You know, I don't know if it's the top of my list, but it pops in my head of, wow, you know, that could be a bitchin' cool Euro car. You know,
I got a really close buddy of mine named Brady who he owns a really nice Autoplex deal here, and he's got a GT3, you know, RS or a whatever the baddest, you know, $500,000, $700,000 Porsche deal that, you know, three GTS3, whatever crap it is. And he's just in awe. All my friends, like, dude, that car is so sick. I've never driven it, but he keeps telling me, hey, man, you got to come and get some seat time in it. And about the same time, he tells me he's got to come up, take me for a ride in his plane, which can pull 5 to 8 G's as well. So a couple things I'm going to knock off my friend bucket list is drive his car and let him fly me around his cool plane. But I'll let you know, man. To me, it's weird because to me, a Porsche is not a car that makes power. But I've ridden in them, and they're crazy fast, which blows me away. That whole boxer thing, I just can't wrap my head around how that thing can make any power.
Well, I think the...
But nonetheless, they do.
I have to look it up, but I can't remember if it's the GT2. I think it's a 700-plus horsepower car. Like, that's legit.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's essentially like... a race car barely streetable. Yeah. And that to me sounds like a lot of fun.
I know, man. I just sit back and go, how does that make that much power? I just can't wrap my head around it. I mean, obviously, forced induction, baby, that's where it is. But nonetheless, it's just it's one of those cars I need to drive for sure, just to earn the respect that it needs to have, you know, in my opinion. But yeah, you've seen them out on the track. I've not. So it's definitely one I got to check off. How about anything from Germany, Japanese style? What do you got? Anything there?
Germany, I mean, Audi R8 comes to mind. Oh, if I go back in time, I still love that Porsche Carrera GT. I would take one of those.
Okay.
You know, they just look cool. That mid-engine V10 was totally different at the time. I guess similar with that Audi R8 and those things, you can get nasty fast, crazy fast.
Oh, there's
I do love a lot of the...
Fastest street car I've ever ridden in was Audi R8.
I mean, most of the M3s, right? I would take, you know, many different eras of the BMW M3s. I mean, if I wanted to throw my fam in there, I could do an M5, right? So in that kind of category, for sure.
Yeah.
We're talking about newer, nicer
stuff.
Got my
BMW with the LS swap right here.
Yeah.
There's my BMW with the LS swap. And then right back over there is a Skyline. So I was kind of queuing you up, and my super stock over there. So a few of the newer versions of cars I have, you know, back over that way. But, man, you know, as we keep growing and we keep learning, man, you never know what's going to end up in the garage because we never leave, you know, never leave them alone and can't seem to quit tinkering on them. So who knows? Because if it ends up here, it'll probably end up there, if you know what I mean. So maybe even on the show. So, all right, man. I'll keep an eye out. I'll let you know how the Porsche driving goes, and I'll let you know how this quest for the Superbird goes as well. Should be interesting in the next few days.
I want to hear the scoop, man. You gotta keep me on your string text.
Hey, and make sure you check out our show. Maybe you'll see some of these cars on it. Our show available on weekends on the Motor Trend Network. Check your local listings. Also available on Discovery Plus and Max, which is really cool. Find us there. It'd be cool, man, up on the big screen on Max. You got to love that. Thanks to our producer, Scoop, executive producer, Bob Ecker. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B, Super Bird. All right? And we'll see you on the next Two Guys Garage podcast.
Yeah, don't forget to check out our website, twoguysgarage.com. Share your thoughts with us. We're on social everywhere at Two Guys Garage. Two Guys Garage podcast is copyright 2024, Brenton Productions Incorporated. All rights reserved.
If I get that car, I'm going to make it call me Superbird.
Maybe one show.
Your bird, I'll be Superbird. Just one.
But for you, one time, yeah, maybe one time.
Yeah.
One time. All right, man. Well, keep us posted, Willie. Hopefully we'll have some more stories about that Superbird on another episode of Two Guys Podcast. So we'll catch you on the next one, guys. Take care.
Two Guys Garage Podcast is a production of Brenton Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.